That's great. Thanks. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew, please, chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I thought this being the last fellowship of the year here, well, maybe not, because we're going to do a little New Year's Eve thing, which I will talk about in a few minutes. But I thought that we would just consider some things I think that are familiar to most of us. But these are things that I don't think you can think about too much. You know, we just heard in one of the manifestations where God said to saturate our hearts with his words. You know, it's a word of deliverance. It's a word of power. Words that heal. That's what God says about his word. And what I want to do this morning, and maybe we'll look a little bit more at this, but my heart here is to do those things that, as much as possible for each one of us, make or set an environment whereby we can be receptive to God's working in us, to God's teaching us. The Word, and we're going to look at that this morning, the Word talks a lot about the heart. Talks about guarding the heart. And we'll consider just a little bit about that because that's quite a massive study in God's Word. But there needs to be a real willingness to allow God to teach. A willingness to recognize that He really is God. That he really knows what he's talking about. And these are the kinds of things that sound very, very elementary. And they are. Which is why the adversary works so hard to attack those things. To so, you know, confuse that to set aside time for God's word all of a sudden becomes hard. You know, to take time to meditate on the things of God, all of a sudden it seems out of reach. It's too much. Right? You ever been there? And the word addresses these things. It's not just the outside things that prevent us sometimes from seeing God's word or from learning what God would have us learn from his word. Sometimes we have ways of thinking or traditions, habits, that sort of make it difficult to get to maybe the depths of what God is communicating. And it's important to recognize that, and I will recognize that when I'm humble. And that I really don't know much. I really don't. God does. And those words are easier to say than to carry out. Because boy, that flesh. Right? So we're going to consider just a few things along these lines. And I wanted to start here in Matthew chapter 15. Section we all are fairly familiar with. but some great truths in here. In verse 1 it says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your what? By your tradition. By your traditions. You transgress, or really kind of, and the example we'll see in a minute, you kind of make null and void what God's word says. And then he's going to give them an example. God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatever thou mightest be profited by me. It's a gift. You should be thankful for whatever I do for you. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your what? By your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, verse 8, this people, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their what? Their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. They were about a lot of things in their worship of God, except for the heart. Now, we read this record, we've probably read this record many times, and we think, oh, those Pharisees, those guys, they're just mean. It's easy to do this. It's actually pretty easy to do this. To get into habits. To be a part of the worship of God. To be a part of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Because of the people you get to be with. Or because it helps you to, forget something else that's going on in your life. All those things are fine. But what's God about? It's about the heart. The relationship. That's what God's about. And it is easy to miss. For years we did teen camp. And I'll tell you, there are some of those kids that went to teen camp for years. And it wasn't until they were out of teen camp or a young adult where all of a sudden it was like, bang! Wow! God really is real. Now, it's actually beautiful. It sounds funny. But how many times have you and I gone to God's Word, read something from God's Word, we've read it 100 times, and then all of a sudden one day, holy buckets, how did I not see that? Right? Right. So we read these records, it's here for us to learn. See, we're learning from this. This is what men do, this is the flesh. We set up habits, we set up traditions, we set up ways of thinking, ways of doing things. And if it's outside of that way, it's somehow not right. And he called the multitude and said unto them, verse 10, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth. That's what defiles a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You offended them. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. That day's coming. Let them alone. They're blind leaders or teachers of the blind. And if the blind shall show the way, they'll both fall into the ditch. So you've got the blind teaching the blind to be blind. And they both walk in their blindness. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the what? From the heart. See? And that's what we're talking about here. Up above, if you remember, they worship me. They worship me with their words, with their lips. But their heart's far from me. And what Jesus Christ was concerned with is what God is concerned with, the heart. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands, that doesn't defile a man. It's what is in the heart. Now, it lists a number of, you know, different things. But we're going to see in a moment, it's out of the heart proceed the very issues of life. Very issues of life. That's what God's concerned with, the heart. I want you to turn to, as a matter of fact, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. There's a lot of Proverbs we could read. We're not going to today, but there's much to be learned. In verse 20 of Proverbs 4, it says, My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. These are great words, this intend and incline. It's to take, you know, kind of take heed how you hear, and to incline the ears, you're bending the ear. You know, it's one of those, it's like, I want to hear this. And then he says, then it says, Let them, these words, not depart from thine eyes. Chew on that one. Keep them, guard them. That's the word keep. Guard them in the midst of thine heart. Four, here's why. They are life. That's something. Those words. Those words that God is saying, attend. Listen up. Take heed. Incline. Bend your ear. Listen. Listen. Don't let them leave your eyes. Get them in your heart. The midst of your heart. Guard that. And the reason why is their life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And then it says, guard, keep. That's that word guard. Guard thy heart with all diligence. That's an action. You know, the word diligence could also be translated as guard. It's like the place that is being guarded. So guard the guardhouse or whatever, however you want to handle it. with all diligence. Keep thy heart. Guard thy heart. For out of it are the what? Are the issues of life. See? Are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before. These are beautiful figures, beautiful illustrations. Ponder, ponder. And that means to make level. Make level the path of thy feet. Let all thy way be established. See? And what it's saying is that hiding these words in the heart, keeping the heart, guarding the heart with all diligence, because out of it proceed the issues of life, kind of smooths things out. It's sort of a neat mind picture, isn't it? I want you to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're just going to consider a couple of places where it talks about these words being life. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to get to verse 12. I just want to set a little bit of the context. Verse 1, let us therefore, of Hebrews 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear or reverence, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel, or the good news, preached, as well as unto them. Now this is in reference to the previous chapter, and it talks about how that God had given that promise to Israel at the time of Moses to enter into the promised land, and they chose not to believe it. Who knows what would have happened had they believed God, but they chose not to. They didn't. What they did was they went by their senses, and they took that information and they lauded that information above the Word of God. The Word of God was simply go in, take it. That was the Word of God. But they took this other information and it became more powerful than God's Word. It was more real than God's Word. Yeah, God promised it, but that's what they did. And what it's saying here is, look, they didn't enter into the rest. Now we've got good news being preached to us. We can enter into God's rest. And the rest is, it's a sabbatical rest from your own works to be righteous before God. Isn't that beautiful? It is a sabbatical rest. Oh, you've been made righteous by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now walk. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to do any of it. Jesus Christ did it. That's what it's talking about. See? And so in this second part of verse 2, so the word didn't profit them then because it wasn't mixed with believing. Don't let that happen to us. That's what he's saying. Don't go by that example. See? And then you get down to verse 12. For the word of God is living. In Proverbs we just read, these words are life. This word of God is living and powerful. And we're going to see this. We're going to look at a record in a minute where Jesus Christ talks about this. But these are words of God. You know, there's a great record. I just thought of this. We looked at this not too long ago, but it was in the time of Hezekiah. We're not going to take time to turn there. But they were surrounded, remember, by the army of the, was it Syrians? I forget who it was. I don't know who they were, but there was a ton of them. And Rabshakeh, remember Rabshakeh, boys, you know, we're going to eat your lunch, da, 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 threatening, and then he's mocking God, deriding God, all this stuff. And then he writes a letter and he lays all this thing out. This is what we're going to do. And they've got Jerusalem surrounded. Surrounded. And so this letter gets delivered and Hezekiah lays it before the Lord. Right? Well then, Hezekiah prays. He says, look, we don't know what to do. We don't have the strength. So then God sends the prophet Isaiah. Ha! Right? So then Isaiah starts speaking the words of God. See? Look, I'm going to do this. You're not going to get taken. Then he says, then Isaiah says, and unto Rabshakeh, the Lord says, I'm going to lead you out of here by your nose. And then he declares how he will die. You know, those words were never spoken to Rabshakeh. But every one of them came to pass. Because they were spoken by God. You understand? It was a living word. Those words were spoken by Isaiah to Hezekiah. And unto Rabshakeh, I say, beautiful. It's a living word. And the words of God are living words. They're powerful words. That's why we want to get them in the midst of our heart. And it does take some effort. It does take some work. It does take some rearranging. It does take some prioritizing. Yes, it does. All those things are true. I forgot where I left off. Oh, quick, living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, and I love this, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to that which comes from soul, that which comes from spirit. That's something. That's what the Word of God does. It'll show that. It'll show that. The Word of God makes known. It's the critic of the heart. It's the critic of the thoughts of men. It's the Word of God, not your buddy. It's the Word of God. And that's going to take some meekness, right? It's going to take a little humility to allow the Word to be that, because that's not always easy, because the flesh wants to be right. The flesh wants to think that I'm right, but we don't say I'm right. We say, but you don't understand. That's how we say it. What we're really saying is, I'm right. Do you understand? Maybe you really don't understand. Okay, let's go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Boy, and I've just been thinking about this stuff and what a huge deal it is. It is so easy to get sucked into the world. It is so easy to get caught up in fear. So easy to get caught up in the frenzy of whatever. It just is. But we don't need to. We don't need to. But I have to decide. I have to decide. This is John chapter 6. Another great section. Don't have time to get into all this. Maybe sometime we'll really walk through this chapter. It's so awesome. But very briefly, Jesus Christ had fed 5,000 loaves, fishes, an incredible miracle. They had more left over than they started with. And they fed all these people. He sends his disciples across the lake. He stays behind. He later walks on the water, hops in the boat, Well, the next morning, the people had seen the disciples leave, didn't see Jesus Christ left, so they stayed over there. But after a while, they realized he wasn't there anymore. So they get into a bunch of ships, and they go across to Capernaum, and they're looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking for him. And in verse 26, I believe it is, it says, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Wow. That's incredible. This is an amazing, amazing miracle. You're not here because of that. Then he says, verse 27, boy, he just cuts right to the chase. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto what? Everlasting life. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now Jesus Christ is talking about something pretty big here.
Eternal life.
Okay. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, well, what do we do? What do we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, well, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? Well, what do you work? Give us a sign that you're the one. They had seen this amazing miracle. And what you see as you get in this record, what they're doing is they're just working it. They really want to get fed. They're working hard for the meat that perishes. Isn't that something? And the reason why I wanted to share this record, one of the reasons, and we're going to read a couple more verses here, you know, part of this setting an environment for yourself, a big part of that is your attitude toward God's word and how you approach God's word. And sometimes, and I've done it, we've all done it, I suppose, but sometimes when I see people, they bring the word down to their level rather than bringing themselves up to the level of the word. Just because I don't understand something, imagine that, I don't understand something. How can I go on? Isn't that funny? We do that sometimes. See? One example of this is our experiences. We fit what God is saying in his word into our previous experience. Right? Have you ever done that? Sure. Or we limit God based on our previous experiences. We do those things. A real sad thing, and I see it in our culture today, is we bring the word down to our level because of how we feel about something. Because how something made me feel. And I exalt my feeling above God's word. End of statement. I mean, you can call it what you want. And if I'm upsetting you, I'm sorry. But, you know, I've done that. I don't like it. I think of that verse that goes something like, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is... Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think of. And it's reproving to me. See? So we do these things. And in so doing, we kind of, you know, we turn the Word of God into some kind of self-help thing. No, it's the Word of God. God. See? Yeah, Let's we're going to look at a couple more things, but I want to, let's go down to verse 60 of this chapter. So you sort of got the gist, and Jesus Christ goes through some sacrificial language here. You know, whosoever eats my body, drinks my blood, will have eternal life. It's some pretty remarkable things he says. And, you know, it is pointing toward the meat offering, the drink offering, and which we're not going to take time for. Maybe Kenny can share that sometime. You out there, Kenny? You hear that? Verse 60, it said, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said unto them, does this offend you? Well, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And this, there's an ellipsis here. Because he had started this out saying, I am come down from heaven. I'm he that came down from heaven. I'm the Savior. I'm the one. I'm the meat offering. I'm the drink offering. That offended you? Well, what if you see me ascend back up into heaven? Is that going to offend you? That's what he's saying. Isn't that neat? Is that going to offend you? And you know what? They would see him ascend, wouldn't they? It's pretty cool. Anyway. Then he says in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives life. Now, again, in that context, what these people were seeking and what he was addressing was their seeking to take care of the physical life. The emphasis was on the physical, getting things in the physical arranged, getting things in the physical taken care of, pursuing after the physical things. And what he's saying, it's a Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits what?
Nothing.
Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are Spirit and they are life. See? And the words of God are Spirit and they are life. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. So we want to guard the word in our hearts. We want to get the word in our hearts. You know, in Philippians it talks about holding fast the faithful word. See, it's in holding fast that we shine as lights in this world. There's a psalm in Psalm 119. It says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not, and the King James says that I might not sin against thee. But that word sin, it literally means to fall short of the mark. I've hidden your word in my heart that I don't fall short of the mark. And that mark being what God desires as our Father for our lives. This stuff is real. It's real. Proverbs 6. And the thing is, you know, that hiding the word in the heart, that midst of the heart, it doesn't mean stuff ain't going to come. It's going to come. The thoughts will come. The temptation will come. We'll look at that in just a minute. Those things are going to come. You're not stopping that. God, I thought this would get easier as I get older. No, but what you do, and we're going to read about it here, because it's hidden in your heart, that's what you ultimately go with. That's where you land. You might go through some loops getting there, but that's where you land. Let's see. Proverbs 6. And we're going to pick it up in 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Meaning, and this is in reference to the word that they were taught. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Verse 22, and when you go, it'll lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. It'll guard you. And when you wake, it'll talk with you. Isn't that beautiful? It's amazing. For the commandment, the word, the commandment is a lamp. The law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the what? The way of life. That's the way of life. That's a way of life we should seek. To be instructed by God who's never wrong. Can you handle that? Can you handle never being right? It's a good thing God is love, isn't it? It's pretty awesome. But you know, it's that word of God, when we hide it in our heart, it talks with you. It's, you know, the senses, this, and then the word's talking with you. Remember my word. Remember I'm faithful. Remember I love you. I gave my son for you. Remember that. Remember that. I've made you righteous. You're righteous. Let's go to James chapter 1, and we're going to close in James. But isn't this great stuff to think about? It's basic. These are just basic truths, but so vital, so critical. James chapter 1. Verse 2 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or varied temptations. Okay? When you're encompassed by many temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the proving of your believing works or produces patience. Produces patience. Sort of echoes something we read in Romans chapter 5. You know, and we do this standing in grace, in that grace of God. Remember, we're on that sabbatical rest from our own works. This is talking about believing what's been done, believing what God says, believing what we have. Let patience have her perfect work, where it just comes to full age. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally or bountifully, and upbraids not. That means, you know, he doesn't hold it against you in any way. He's God. He knows he's God. Right? And he, knowing he's God, as God, is saying, if any of you lack wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it liberally. Isn't that something? But, verse 6, let them ask in what? Believing. Now, believing is an issue of life, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It is. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. This wavering, you could understand it as of two, we would say today, we would say of two minds. It's of, I'm of two judgments. I'm of two minds. See? Isn't that something? You ever hear such a thing? This is where that heart comes in. This is why these basics are so important. See? To make for yourself a time, an environment where you're building the word in your heart. Then when the stuff hits, you know, when the stuff hits, instead of your mind being a blank or paralyzed, the word's talking to you. It's talking to you. See? By his stripes, the word's talking to you. And so you just, you don't buy in or you don't take receipt of the words of the world. So we don't want to be of two minds here. And I'll tell you, that of two minds, you know what it is? You know what the two minds is? Really, the simplest way I know to communicate this is the word but. It's what it is. It's the word but. I know the word of God says, but. Right? We used to call it the yeah, but rabbit. You know, the yeah, but rabbit. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. You don't really understand. Yeah, but. I know, but. That's that two minds. I go to God to ask for wisdom. I say amen. And no sooner has the in of amen left my lips, I'm already trying to figure out what to do with it. I just went to God for wisdom for. That's of two minds. Do you understand? Do you ever hear such a thing? Verse 7 then says, for not let not that man think that he's going to receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's, you know, two-souled. That's right. He's of two minds. The word isn't real. The word isn't what's talking to him. And it talks a little bit, let's close here in 3. It talks a little bit about this wisdom. Great section here. But we're going to pick it up in verse 13. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife or factions in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and what? every evil work. See? And that's something to be honest with. You know, in my own heart, the word says where there's envy and faction, there is what? Confusion. Confusion. And, you know, that's earthly, that's sensual, that's devilish. That stuff doesn't have a good ending. You know, if I've got envy and strife in a marriage, it's going to be confusion. There's going to be some evil going on. Do you understand? So, you know, this is the Word of God. God is lovingly instructing us. Don't go down this road. Go this road. And not only that, I'm going to help you go on this road. Just look to me. Believe me. And if you need wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. I promise. Isn't that beautiful? And then it says, but in contrast to that, and this is a good but, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Isn't that beautiful? See? As opposed to confusion, peace. Isn't that wonderful? You know, as opposed to envy and strife, righteousness. See? That's the wisdom that descends from above. That's the wisdom that comes from our Father, who gave His Son for us. Right? Right. So that's the God we want to worship with our hearts. And have a relationship in our hearts with our Heavenly Father. So, amen. Amen. Amen.